Good morning. Welcome to the Second Court of Appeals. Our very first argument in 2010. Your panel today is, to my right, Justice Bob McCoy. To my left, Justice Bill Meyer. I'm Leanne Dofino. We have on today's docket for oral submission 1.5 cases. Only the appellant will argue in the first case, and then both sides will argue in the second case, and the other cases are not set for oral submission. So, it's my understanding you're ready. Deborah, would you call the case, please?
May I please the court? Mr. Kimberly Hagman will argue for appellant.
May I please the court? Good morning. My name is Kenley Pegland. It's my first time before the Court of Appeals. Oral arguments. It's a pleasure to be here. I represent the City of Wichita Falls in its appeal from the denial of a plea of jurisdiction by the 78th District Court in Wichita Falls, Texas. We have 7 points of error, 7 issues that we have briefed in this cause of action. Issues 2 through 7 are defective pleading issues. But issue 1, I think, is the most important issue, and there's evidence on this issue, so I'd like to address that issue first. A brief summary. This is a cause of action brought by Appellee having to do with a car accident in which she was injured. According to the petition, she is alleging that the accident was approximately caused by a misplaced and unmaintained street sign. The street sign was located on State Highway 287, the exit ramp. And the issue, I think, is that does the City of Wichita Falls have a duty in this regard? I think the crux of the matter, whether it's a premise defect case or a special defect cause of action, is did the city, was it a possessor of the street sign? Did it have the right to control the premises in question? And the evidence in this case is unchallenged. The city presented 2 affidavits in its plea of the jurisdiction to the 78th District Court. The first affidavit was a sworn statement by the City of Wichita Falls Street Superintendent, Mark Beecham. And Mr. Beecham testified under oath in his affidavit that the street sign on the exit ramp of 287, he testified that this street sign belongs to and is owned and controlled by TxDOT. He testified that the street sign and the exit ramp are not owned and not controlled by the City of Wichita Falls. And we think this is clearly important because the city is not responsible for the maintenance of said street sign. And if we don't have a responsibility in this regard, there is no duty to Appellee in this matter, and the case should be dismissed. The issue of possession is very similar to a case that was brought by and decided by the Court of Appeals out of Texarkana in 1996. There was a case that we cite that we think is on point. It is Sipes versus the City of Longview. In that case, we had a similar situation where there was a claim of a dangerous condition in the city limits of Longview, that being tall grass. The tall grass resulted, allegedly, in an accident, and it was also on a state highway system, and specifically the median of the state highway system. The issue that the Court of Appeals looked at in that case was who was responsible for the tall grass, who was responsible for the maintenance of the grass. And they did an analysis that I think is appropriate. They looked at Transportation Code 224.031 and 224.032. And these transportation code sections make it very clear that TxDOT and the commission that oversees TxDOT has exclusive and direct control of all state highway systems, including the maintenance of state highway systems. And the legislature very clearly and intentionally placed the exclusive control of said maintenance of the state highways with TxDOT.
So you're saying there's absolutely no issue in controversy?
That's true. On this issue, that is correct. There goes further that the city could have assumed via contract maintenance responsibilities of this street sign. 221.002 of the Transportation Code authorizes the commission, TxDOT, to contract with municipalities to take on responsibility of state highway systems and maintenance and whatnot. We have an affidavit that was presented in the plea of jurisdiction by our city clerk, the City of Wichita Falls City Clerk, Lydia Torres, who testifies that there's no such contract exists between the City of Wichita Falls and TxDOT and the Commission. So that being said, the City of Wichita Falls can't, via its home rule powers, wrestle control of the state highway system away from TxDOT without TxDOT's permission. There is no agreement to give the city possession or control of said premises, and we feel that as it relates to issue one, the evidence is unrefuted, uncontroverted. There is no evidence before this court or in the appellate record that the city was responsible for or had possession of the street sign.
What about his request to remand it back for further proof because he has subsequently found evidence?
He files a cause of action in the 70th District Court without evidence. He then, on appeal, suddenly says he has evidence. But you notice there were no affidavits submitted from these witnesses. There was no attempt to supplement the appellate record, and there's a procedure to do that. It, to me, seems to be much, much too late to be going down that road. The appellate record is clear that the City of Wichita Falls did not own, does not own, that highway exit ramp and that street sign. I think he should have had this evidence before he filed the lawsuit, and I don't think that evidence exists. From our investigation and from the affidavit of Mark Beecham, we are confident that this is, in fact, a TxDOT sign. I hope that addresses that question. So as it relates to possession, we feel the evidence has not been refuted, and we think the evidence is clear that we have no duty to the appellee in this cause of action because we're the wrong party. They sued the wrong government entity. And that's the crux, I think, of our argument in issue one. And as a supplement that argument, though, I want to point out that I think there's also a pleading defect in their amended petition. I don't believe that the appellee has actually pled that the city possesses the street sign. Nowhere in their original petition does she say the city possesses, the city controls this street sign. I think that's a fundamental defect.
And you don't want us to consider the amended petition?
I'll go back to procedural history. They filed an original petition.
Right.
I filed special exception. They didn't file an amended petition at that point. I then filed a plea to jurisdiction. And that was set for hearing. In the morning of the hearing, they filed an amended petition. And that's on the record, and that's before this court. After the appeal had been filed and briefed, they tried to file a supplemental petition in violation of the stay. What I'm asking this court, it's not appropriate to look at that supplemental petition that's their Appendix A because it's not part of the appellate record, and it was filed in violation of the stay. So definitely look at the amended petition because it's the live plea, but we're asking you not to look at, and we object to, the supplemental petition. So that's what we're asking there. Now, as I said, they have had a chance to replead. They did replead, and they replead after having seen and read our special exceptions and our plea to the jurisdiction. So we feel that they have ample opportunity to replead in this cause of action. I think this is relevant as we get to issues 2 through 7. Issues 2 through 7 are, as I said, pleading issues. And generally, I know the general rule is that when you have a pleading issue and the court finds that issue was valid from the appellant's point of view, they have a chance to replead, unless they've already had that chance and have taken that opportunity. So I'll be asking that if we do grant issues 2 through 7, that they've already been allowed to replead and the case simply be dismissed. Issue 2 basically is, it comes down to, we're not really sure what cause of action they're trying to bring. Are they bringing a special defect cause of action? Are they bringing a premise defect cause of action? So I tried to address all of those issues in my brief. Issue 2, basically, is that I do not believe that they have filed an alleged facts to show a special defect cause of action. Special defect cause of action basically requires you to have some excavation or obstruction in a roadway or some similar obstacle that would bring this street sign up to the level of a special defect, and obviously the elements would change if that were true. They allege this is a special defect, in fact. And after a careful review of all the case law in the state of Texas, there's only one case out there that talks about a street sign being a special defect, and that's when that street sign is in the roadway itself. It is falling over and is basically an obstruction. And that is not what was pled in this cause of action. They simply pled that the street sign was misplaced and that it was unmaintained. There's nothing in the court record that would show that it constitutes a special defect. So moving forward, we look at, well, what is this cause of action? And we look at the possibility that it's a premise defect cause of action. But when you look at issue three, we take exception with their pleadings as it relates to premise defect and or whether or not it is a dangerous condition in and of itself. They say that the sign was misplaced, and they say that the sign was unmaintained. There's no factual allegation. There is no information in the amended petition at all that really tells us what is wrong with this street sign. The street sign is not, they don't tell us what's wrong with it. How is it dangerous? What makes the street sign dangerous? How does this rise to a level where there was the street sign caused the accident in question? And so issue three is really just a argument that as pled, they've not pled a premise defect cause of action because they've not pled a dangerous condition. So that being said, I'd like to jump right into the premise defect elements. Premise defect elements include two very important things when you file a premise defect cause of action. You have to plead that the defendant did not know of the dangerous condition, and you must plead that the plaintiff, the city of Wichita Falls, had actual knowledge of the dangerous condition. And in appellee's amended petition, they did not plead either of those facts. What they did plead, and this goes to issue five, is that the defendant had actual or constructive knowledge of the condition. They tried to hedge their bets there. And in a premise defect cause of action, a pleading must allege that the city had actual knowledge. You can't just say actual knowledge and or constructive knowledge. And we cite a case in that regard that backs us up there. And that's the city of Houston versus Harris, which very specifically said that you can't cite and you can't plead knew or should have known. That's not an appropriate plea. And if they had pled actual knowledge, that would have been fine, but they did not plead that, and as such, their premise defect cause of action for that element is defective. We also want to point out that they are alleging that if you read the petition as a whole, it should be clear to the court that appellee did not know of the dangerous condition. They say a liberal reading will tell you that. And what the city's position is in this case is that you must specifically plead that as a specific pled element. You can't just infer it, so to speak. And they did not specifically plead that appellee, Ms. Wrong, did not know of the dangerous defect. And as such, for a premise defect cause of action, they've again failed to plead an essential element. And
did you specially accept that?
Excuse me?
Did you specially accept to that?
See, that was an interesting, in my special exceptions, we could not determine exactly what their cause of action was. We accepted to the entire petition.
What I'm getting at is that pleading defects are subject to special exception, which is mandatory, I believe, so that they can be given an opportunity to correct the defect.
We did file special exceptions, and we accepted to the fact that they didn't plead a Tort Claims Act cause of action. They didn't plead a premise defect cause of action. They didn't plead a special defect cause of action, and we accepted to that and filed special exceptions to that regard. There are six or seven different causes of action in the Tort Claims Act itself. They didn't tell us what they were trying to do. They have clarified, I think, since then, in their appellee document, in their appellee brief, they specifically said three different situations, twice on page 6 and one on page 9, that they are attempting to file a premise defect cause of action. So finally, in the appellee brief, we realized this is a premise defect case. And we have objected, I think, as appropriate. Now, I've got a 2-minute warning. I want to focus on the last.
Mr. Techland, I want to ask you a question,
yes,
please.
Sir.
on page one of your brief, you state the parties that the city filed as first amended special exceptions,
yes,
that the plaintiff did not plead a cause of action. And the statement is made, the parties agreed that the exceptions were appropriate, and plaintiff agreed to replead.
Yes, sir.
Did the court actually rule on the exceptions, or did you and counsel for plaintiff agree that the exceptions were to be treated as though they were good and then there would be a repleading?
Judge Sparkman had both parties before him on the record told us to... And we agreed, and on the record, it's an issue on the record whereby both parties agreed on it. And the judge never issued an actual ruling, but he did order us verbally to enter into a Rule 11 agreement to that issue.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. I've got the red light there. Would you like me to address Issue 7 right quick, or?
Okay. Any other questions?
Thank you for your arguments.
Thank you, y'all. I will... I appreciate talking to y'all today.
We appreciate your coming here. It's been very helpful.
That went much quicker than I thought.
Would you like to volunteer to give any argument for the appellee?
Oh. You know, I'm not going to say anything.
That's a
rhetorical question.
I know. I was just trying to think of something witty and funny, but I'm not there for that.
Thank you. Your case is submitted, and you are excused to go about your business if you'd like. You're welcome to stay.
And that was a good first appearance, sir.
Yes. Okay. I'll be back next week. Hopefully it'll be a little bit better. So I appreciate it.